Our final case today is City of East Liverpool versus Columbiana County Budget Commission. On behalf of the appellant, City of East Liverpool, Mr. John Kulwitz.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Along with John Veronese, I represent the City of East Liverpool and respectfully reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. This case concerns the special exception created by House Bill 329 for alternative allocation of local government funds in certain counties. The most important point that the city wants to make at the oral argument this morning is that House Bill 329 violates the uniformity clause of the Ohio Constitution. House Bill 329 allows the townships and other municipal corporations in selected counties to divest the largest city of any vote on allocation, on alternative allocation of the local government fund. The largest city loses not only its so-called veto, but also any vote. This is an affront to the uniformity clause of the Ohio Constitution, which bars classifications in special laws that are arbitrary. We have an arbitrary classification here because whatever the merit of using a population threshold to define counties in which a largest city veto might not be appropriate, there is absolutely no rational basis for a law that allows the municipalities and townships to deprive the largest city in any county of a vote on alternative allocation of the local government fund.
Counsel, this statute was in response to an earlier case of ours, is that correct?
It followed on an earlier case, Your Honor, yes.
And so the legislature was trying to solve a problem that this court found with the previous statute.
Well, Your Honor, what the court found in the previous case was that the townships and other municipal corporations in Columbiana County had tried to make an end run around the 1990 alternative formula in the 1997 allocation. And this court affirmed my client's position, East Liverpool's position, that that was inappropriate and that the funds needed to be restored according to the 1990 alternative formula. After that is when legislative proceedings ensued. There was no problem. The so-called veto that the appellees address, the court has given a one-sided view of it. In the standard alternate allocation process, there are three parties that have a veto. The county commissioners have a veto, the largest city has a veto, and the aggregate of the townships and other municipal corporations have a veto. Any one of the three of them can veto it. But whatever the merits of using a population threshold to define counties in which that may or may not be appropriate for the largest city to have that veto, none of that applies here, because what we have here is we are left with the fact that the largest city can be deprived of any vote on allocation. What happens, as you will see from the record in the resolutions here, is that after the enactment of House Bill 329, the municipal corporations and the townships in Columbiana County banded together to adopt a series of two resolutions. East Liverpool was not given the opportunity to participate in either of those. The first resolution, adopted every year, is literally entitled a resolution to exclude the approval of East Liverpool, which otherwise would be required for adoption of an alternative formula. And then following on the heels of that is a series of resolutions that adopts whatever alternative allocation the other municipal corporations and
townships. Why isn't that just like saying we're going to allow the majority vote? And if you don't agree, I mean, you can agree and therefore you would vote, but if you don't agree, majority vote rules and you don't dominate anymore like you did under the old statute.
Well, Your Honor, there are three dominant sets of constituent groups under the old statute. The difference here, however, is that under this statute, East Liverpool no longer has any hope of ever providing a majority vote. We can't assume that the status quo always will prevail, but
well,
under this statute,
that's this case in a lot of Democratic politics. You if you don't get the majority vote, if you don't work out an agreement, if you don't play nice, the other people may outvote you, and the fact that you may never have a vote because other people outvote you doesn't mean you don't get a fair allocation. I mean, the population base certainly seems a little more fair than the case that we had before us where you were getting the lion's share with the smaller population.
Your Honor, may I make two responses to that? First, this is even worse than gerrymandering, for example. In gerrymandering, every constituent at least gets the vote. everybody has an ability to vote, even in a gerrymandered district. Here, the other municipal corporations and the townships don't even let us vote. We don't even get a seat at the table on the vote, on the allocation. And it's a slippery slope, because if the legislature can do this, why can't I not also allow the other municipalities and townships to exclude others from the process? The second point, Your Honor, just to talk about the hardship that East Liverpool has suffered here, under the statutory default formula, East Liverpool was receiving approximately 37% of the government fund allocation. That went down when we adopted the alternate formula under the conventional allocation method to 27%. But now, upon the adoption of House Bill 329, East Liverpool receives 5%, 5% of the local government funds in Columbiana County, with a population of approximately 12% of the county and with needs and tax burdens that are in excess of that. So the ultimate point is this is a completely undemocratic procedure.
So where, state that again, where was East Liverpool when the trouble started in terms of percentage?
Well, Your Honor, when the statutory default formula was used back many years ago, the allocation to East Liverpool was approximately 37%. Then in 1990, upon the adoption of an alternative allocation in which all three constituency groups participated, East Liverpool went down, actually, with its consent, to 27%, 26.7%. And then after 2002, upon the enactment of House Bill 329, East Liverpool now gets barely 5% of the local government fund allocation. So even on a pro rata basis, it would be unfair. But the unfairness,
in the other jurisdictions, you're probably saying this is a makeup for East Liverpool getting too much over all those years.
Your Honor, this court explicitly gave its blessing to the alternative allocation that was used from 1990 forward in the last series of litigation before this court. But whatever the politics of the situation, as a matter of law, what we have here, though, is a law that for no rational reason deprives the largest city of any vote. There is no way that East Liverpool ever will be able to vote on an alternative allocation. It will never be able to comprise, to help.
Is there some sort of constitutional fundamental right to have a vote in this matter? I mean, can't the legislature provide, they could provide for the allocation on a pure population basis, on a pure square mile basis, how many miles of streets and roads you have.
There is no constitutional right to have it for any of the subdivisions to have a vote per se. But our point is that once you do have a voting mechanism, a voting procedure, that everybody has to at least be given a vote. And you can look at the analytic roadmap that this court laid out in the Austin.
Well, my question is simple, one word question, why?
Because there is no rational reason not to give one subdivision a vote, to single out one subdivision and not give it a vote. This is different from a veto. They don't even get a vote, and there is no logical explanation for that. There is not one word in the brief of the appellees that justifies or even attempts to defend the total divestiture of a vote.
Well, isn't your venue then back with the General Assembly? I mean, why are you coming to us again after we've sort of looked at this once before? And now it seems like this is sort of another collateral attack or another attack on the same statute. Wouldn't your efforts be legislative as opposed to judicial?
Your Honor, this is a head-on frontal attack on House Bill 329, and the reason that we are here is because under the Austintown versus Tracy decision, this court laid out the roadmap for uniformity clause challenges. And what you said in that is that arbitrary classifications that are used in a special law violate the uniformity clause. But that's exactly what we have here.
But what's arbitrary about this classification?
Because there is absolutely no logical reason to deprive the largest city of a vote. I understand there are arguments as to why it is fair or logical to allow a veto in some counties but not the others, but there is no explanation in their brief as to why you should deprive them of a vote.
Well, this is a constitutional question.
Yes.
And your best argument would be no rational basis. Is that what you're arguing to us?
That's right, Your Honor, because under the Uniformity Clause, if there is an arbitrary classification in a special law, it is unconstitutional. And that's laid out in the Austintown versus Tracy decision. This is a special law because this court has ruled that when a law uses a population threshold, that is a fingerprint of a special law. A special law is not per se invalid under the uniformity clause, but it is a special or local law. And that's what this court ruled in the Hickson versus Burson case, which everybody has cited. There was a law there that allowed voters in counties that had between 35,190 and 35,200 in population to vote on road improvement bonds. That was only Athens County, and they said that's a special law. In the New York Central versus Bucyrus case, the court dealt with an 1880 law that said unincorporated villages with a population of 3,066 could contract for and build machine shops, and the court said that is a special law. That's what we have here. We have a population threshold that defines which counties are in and out of the zone. On then following after that, Your Honor, we have the special law, and we have an arbitrary classification in a special law. The arbitrary classification here, beyond dispute, because the appellees do not dispute it, is that there is no logical basis to allow the municipal corporations and the townships to deprive the largest city of a vote. They don't even get to be at the table. They are ushered out of the room when it comes time to create an alternative allocation of the local government fund. And that is unconstitutional, which is the reason that we are here this morning.
The citizens in, over here to the right, the citizens in East Liverpool aren't without some representation on the vote of the alternative formula, are they? Because, as I understand it, the county commissioners also vote on it, and the citizens of East Liverpool vote for the county commissioners. So while it may not be the same representation, they do have some when it comes to the apportionment, do they? Or do you have a different take on that?
Your Honor, best case, they have severely diluted representation, and they're through the county commissioners. Every other citizen of Columbiana County, in effect, then has two votes on that. He or she has a vote through the county commissioners, and he or she has a vote through the legislative authority of his or her municipal corporation or the board of trustees at of the township here. But for the citizens of East Liverpool, it's different. And the ultimate point, though, the bottom line of all that, is that there is no rational reason for that. There is no rational reason for that the appellees ever have expressed. Perhaps we will hear it this morning. But because there is no logical explanation, it is an arbitrary, a purely arbitrary classification, and that defeats it under the Uniform Application Clause of our Constitution. It should not be allowed to stand. It is an aberration in Ohio law that this court ought not allow to stand.
Probably is a reason for it, a political reason. Would that be true? There's been a fight going on up there for a long time, and East Liverpool was on the losing side of that fight in the legislature.
Your Honor, I acknowledge.
I wouldn't guess this statute got to be the way it is just purely by accident.
It was absolutely not by accident, Your Honor. It was by design. And with all respect to the...
So you're saying the legislators who pushed that forward were not rational?
They were utterly rational legislators, Your Honor.
And very good answer, counsel.
I mean, not just in jest, but they were very rational. In fact, they were rational to a fault in this case, however, because I believe that
these are not unintended consequences, though. These are intended consequences.
That is our belief, Your Honor, yes. And the ultimate point, though, is, with all due respect to the good faith of the General Assembly here, there is no legitimate reason for ultimately depriving East Liverpool of a vote in here. I recognize there are arguments, perhaps it could go either way, on the use of a population threshold to define which corporations may not have a veto, but none of that applies when you talk about a vote, a seat at the table, to be in the room when they're making an alternative allocation of the local government fund.
But it is not a case that the legislature would be surprised that it's working out this way, this statute.
I hope that they would, Your Honor, because the consequences to East Liverpool have been severe and serious. Your Honor, said I may reserve
sure.
Just a minute for rebuttal. May I just say briefly before sitting down here that this case has been, this bill, House Bill 329, has, of course, as the appellees point out, been before the courts of Ohio on three separate occasions, but there has never been a substantive ruling on the merits of House Bill 329, as a result of which there is no collateral estoppel effect here that precludes the court from reaching the merits on this case, and nor is there any res judicata effect, certainly as to the 03, 04, and 05 allocations, which have never been before this court. Let me reserve just a few seconds for rebuttal, please.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Funk, for the County Budget Commission.
Thank you, Your Honor. May be please the court, my name is Stephen Funk. I'm here on behalf of Columbiana County and all of the townships of Columbiana County. By agreement of all the council, I'm going to be the sole speaker on behalf of all the appellees. There were three claims that were raised in the appellee's brief.
Mr. Funk, maybe you could answer the sort of last question that got left hanging first. What was the purpose in excluding East Liverpool from voting on the alternative formula? If all the townships can vote, all the other municipal corporations can vote, what is the purpose? Assuming they'd be completely outvoted, even if they could vote, do you know what the purpose of the legislature was in that regard? Because I'm quite frankly a little unclear about that myself.
Yeah, it's actually a very simple explanation, Your Honor. First of all, I have a difference of agreement on the word vote. It is essentially a statutory approval process. And the way it worked under the ordinary course, and if you think about it, this amendment, and it's correct, it created an exception to deal with an abuse of the process. What the statute provides is that throughout the state of Ohio, this is the procedure that works, that an alternative method can be approved if it is approved by three entities: the county commissioners, the largest municipality, and the majority of the remaining subdivisions. That's the language of the statute, okay? That makes a lot of sense when you have a large municipality, but in the situation of the abuse that occurred in this situation, where you have a town, East Liverpool, that is comprised of less than 15% of the population of the county, is less than 20,000 persons, the city itself. You have a city of Salem, for example, that is this close to being the largest municipality, and yet the largest municipality is given much more authority. In that situation, and those exceptions is classified in the statute, where there is an abuse, what happens is that there can be a vote of the majority of two or more subdivisions compromising a majority of the population, and a vote by the county commissioners. I'm sorry, no. Majority of the population can vote to remove the second category. In other words, no longer the second category is required, it's simply the first and the third, okay? And it's a fail-safe for those situations where there has been an abuse in those kinds of counties where there's been
so far, so good. That all makes sense.
Okay. So, and that's essentially what happens here. And what I want to clarify.
And when you're voting, when you're adopting the actual alternative formula distribution, then does the statute not preclude the largest municipality under that situation from actually having a yes or no approval or non-approval?
Yeah.
Not a veto, just a say in the matter.
Yeah, and actually it's wrong, the conception that they all meet in a room and they hold up their hands and vote. That's not the way it happens at all. The county commissioners simply, not the county commissioners, the budget commission decides whether or not the statutory qualifications have been met, okay, for the alternative method. So what happens is you've got the three classifications. The second one has been removed. So now you determine, did we have the first and the third? The first being county commissioners vote and the vote of the remaining subdivisions. That's the way, and if those have been met, then the alternative method can be approved.
So, but
and it's a statutory approval process, it's not a vote.
So do you know why that the largest city that formerly had a veto now doesn't even permitted to grant an approval or disapproval without a veto, without having a veto effect?
Because the statute was amended to deal with the abusive process of a situation where a municipality is less than 15% of the population, has less than 20,000 persons. In that situation, a majority, two or more subdivisions comprising a majority of the population can vote to remove that statutory requirement, the second category, largest municipality. So in that sense, then only the first and the third remain to meet the statutory requirement.
So while it removes them for a veto, then it removes them for any participation in it as well. Is that the general effect?
The technical term of the statute is that their approval is no longer required.
Well,
it's only the first and the third now required for the alternative method. And we have to remember what we're talking about here is state tax revenues. These are revenues that state, and I agree with Justice Pfeiffer, that the state can really come up with any method that they want to for apportioning these tax revenues. And that's certainly, there's nothing that the political subdivisions can complain about when it comes to distribution of state tax revenues.
But this is an alternative method. I mean, isn't there an initial method in which East Liverpool has a full right to participate? And this only comes into play if East Liverpool doesn't like the allocation and wants to veto it.
Well, actually, it's a statutory method and there's the alternative method. Either one can work. In other words, there's no requirement to play out the statutory method first.
But if East Liverpool doesn't like the allocations, it no longer has the right to cast the deciding vote to give it the majority share. That abuse, alleged abuse, was taken out by this new alternative formula, correct?
If a majority of the two or more subdivisions comprising a majority of the county population votes to remove that participation requirement. You know, and again, this is a political, in many ways, we're talking about state tax revenues. So this is, in very many ways, a political process. And the state legislature is ultimately the arbiter of that process. And it has come up with this method, and it came up with this exception to deal with the abusive situations of a counties. And this is, Columbiana County is not the only county that this applies to. There's three other counties. But it makes sense that when you only have less than 15% of the population and you have less than 20,000 persons, that your approval should not be required. Let me just address real clear though on a legal point, which is what I heard in the appellant's opening remarks is that they're really focusing in on the uniform application argument. But what they're trying to do here, I just want to alert the court to this, is that they're trying to make the uniform application argument or uniform operation essentially the same as the equal protection argument. Equal protection, a political subdivision does not have the right to assert equal protection with respect to state laws. So if a state law, you know, says, here's how we're going to do the distribution of local tax revenues, I, as a political subdivision, can't complain about the method that's being chosen. For example, the city of Salem, who for many years was the second largest and just barely smaller than East Liverpool, had no ability to complain about the method that existed before, which arguably was, you know, quote unquote, arbitrary. There's a reason, therefore, that equal protection does not apply to political subdivisions. So the question really before the court is uniform operation violated? And you have to read the statute in context. 5747.53 and 5747.63 are the statutes at issue here, and they apply uniformly throughout the state. They create a procedure for alternative method of apportionment. The bill amends that statute to create an exception, but there's no requirement that the exception has to apply throughout the state. I mean, the exception is there to deal with the exceptions. And uniform operation is just making sure that the statute governs throughout the state, and it clearly does govern throughout the state. In that sense, uniform application law really doesn't apply here at all.
Now, is there a requirement when you're talking about the uniform application that when it selects out, as it does, just limited geographical areas to which this applies, that there be a substantial and legitimate legislative purpose? Is that required?
No, Your Honor, I submit that it is not, because what you're looking for is the legislation in effect throughout the state? In other words, is it operating uniformly throughout the, you're really looking at the territory. Is it governing the entire territory as opposed to a geographical limitation? So if there was truly in this situation then, this statute applies throughout the state. There are then exceptions that
we
also apply.
We had an argument not long ago about, I think it was a ability to tax or something that it applied throughout the state, but the only people who fit were the islands.
Yeah, and that case is the Put-in Bay case.
Yes.
And in that case, that specifically was a statute that was defined as a geographical limitation. In other words, islands, you know, geographical limitation. Like, for example, if this statute had been written that said it only applies in Northeast Ohio, that's a defined geographical limitation. Here, it's written with respect to throughout the state, anybody that fits within this this category.
And the qualification being, what was the qualification?
And they're defined as in a county in which less than the largest municipality is less than 15% of the county population and less than 20,000 persons. In that situation, because it makes no sense that they should be given extra authority or veto rights, that in that situation, two or more subdivisions comprising a majority of the population can vote.
But coming back to Justice Cupp's question, though, I don't think we've heard yet what the justification for taking away a vote of any kind, not a veto, but a vote of any kind.
Again, what? Your Honor, it's a statutory approval process. You have three classifications. In the ordinary, you have to read House Bill 329 in the context of the overall statutory scheme. The statutory scheme establishes three qualifications, three classifications that have to be approved. County commissioners, largest municipality, majority of the remaining subdivisions. Okay? What House Bill 329 does is it allows for the second requirement to be removed. Okay? Therefore, you have the first and the third classifications that are now needed to be approved. And the reason for that is because in those situations where there's an abuse, the legislature wanted to provide an ability to remedy that so not untoward authority is given to the large.
I guess the question would be, you could have solved it another way in saying if you meet these thresholds, and you're still the largest municipality, you just get thrown in the room with all the other local government entities.
Yeah, I mean, Your Honor, certainly you get a mixture of legislatures in the room. People are going to come up with different ways of doing it. I mean, you could come up with a different way. I could come up with a different way. The question is that ultimately the legislature is vested with that authority. This is plenary power over the distribution of state tax revenue.
I mean, the ultimate question is, does this scheme offend the Constitution?
Right. And when you're talking about plenty of power over distribution of state tax revenues, what this court has said is that political subdivisions cannot use equal protection and due process to object to the way in which the state chooses to apportion state tax revenues. Uniform application is a completely different subject.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Justice O'Donnell had a question.
No, that's all right. Yeah. That's fine. Thank you.
I had a question regarding the exception also has uniform application through the state.
Correct.
How many other political subdivisions other than East Liverpool are affected by this? Do you know?
How many other counties?
Yes.
There are four other counties. It's in our brief. It's based on the 2000 census data. Okay. Claremont County outside of Cincinnati. Milford is the largest city. It's a suburban county, you know. Belmont County is another one, and then the fourth one is escapes me, but it's in our brief.
Thank you.
The key thing, though, is not how many counties apply or not apply. The key thing is that you look at the whole statute. It applies throughout the state. They created an exception to deal with certain situations where there are, you know, a very small municipality in comparison to the county population. And that is a classification that applies throughout the state. Let me just say, though, that what I just want to respond to very briefly is the formula under this case presents a good example for why the formula didn't work very well in Columbiana County in the past. The way this worked before was Columbiana County or East Liverpool got a very highly disproportionate percentage. There are 30 political subdivisions, I think approximately 30 or 31, in Columbiana County. So if they got 37%, that was a very, very substantially high amount. What they did was that with the new formula, It's 50% to the county, which is what is provided for under the statutory method. And then the remaining 50% gets divided by the political subdivisions on an equal basis based on population. So equal, East Liverpool, as the largest municipality, still receives more local government funds than any other political subdivision other than the county. So this is not operating inequitably. And not that that's really the issue before the court, but I just wanted to clarify that for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Fung.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Kulwitz will allow, you got 24 seconds, but we'll give you a minute.
Now, if I'm going to make 2 points very quickly. My learned adversary omitted one of the defining characteristics of this law. Not only is there a population threshold, but the definition section says that the participating political subdivision must already have adopted the standard alternative allocation for that calendar year. And what that means is that this case is a lot closer to Put In Bay than it is to Kelly's Island. Put In Bay was objectionable under the Constitution because it froze in time the area that was subject to that law. And that's exactly what this does, what that part of the definition does. It means that certainly when this law was enacted, there was only one, only these counties to which it could apply. No other county could be subject to it. And in the future, no county that would fall within the population threshold is logically going to accept an alternate allocation because it knows that the next year it's simply going to be opening the door to be ushered out of the room. And finally, Your Honor, we have yet to hear one word in defense of the deprivation of a vote. Everything, as opposing counsel says, everything is done very politely and tactfully. You will see in the record there are a series of resolutions every year. It's all done on paper that excludes East Liverpool.
But no one else has a vote, per se. They just have the same right to approve or disapprove that East Liverpool has. It really isn't a voting situation, is it?
Your Honor, everybody but East Liverpool has the vote under House Bill 329. Every township and every municipal corporation but the largest
Doesn't
city.
Doesn't the budget allocation process say that the political subdivision shall approve the recommended distribution?
Yes, and it gives two alternatives. One is a statutory default formula based upon need, and then the other is an alternative allocation. There was the conventional alternative allocation, which we had going forward until 2002, and now we have this exception to it that's made. And under the exception, the reason that this offends the Constitution is that my client doesn't even get to vote. This would be the same, Your Honor, as if in the General Assembly, if the President of the Senate or the Speaker of the House of Representatives stood up on the dais and said, we will now proceed to a vote on House Bill 1. All members may vote except for the members from X county, which we know are going to be in the minority, so your vote won't count anyway. That would be indefensible in the General Assembly. The denial of a vote to East Liverpool is indefensible to my clients. We urge the court to rule this law unconstitutional, to remand to the Board of Tax Appeals to make an alternate allocation under the former provisions of Section 5747.53 and 63.
Thank you, Mr. Kulwitz. The case is submitted. Marshall will adjourn court.